appreciation, loved ones, and saints of the church, to remember those persons who have had a strong influence upon our spiritual journeys right from the beginning of our lives to now. That's who we're thinking about today. Now, the early church celebrated this special day on May 13th, back in the 3rd century. And that time it commemorated only the church's martyrs. The date was changed by Pope Gregory III in the 8th century when he decided a chapel in the Basilica of St. Rome in Rome to all saints, dedicated to all saints in that beautiful basilica. And this dedication occurred on November 1st, and it honored all the saints, even those who were not martyrs. Everybody. Today, both martyrs and saints are remembered. But so are also all the people of God, from my perspective. The living and the dead who form the body of Christ. And that means all of us gathered here today. Everybody. Now, what are some of the characteristics of a saint? And I think this falls between the cracks for most of us, those characteristics. It's a passage that we should turn to, have before us all the time. And we heard it in one version in the Gospel of Luke. He really expands on this theme, talking about the Beatitudes. Quite different than what was in Matthew. Here's what Matthew basically says about the Beatitudes, how he describes it. Jesus says, "Those who are blessed are those who are poor in spirit." They're to be poor in spirit. They're those who mourn. They're the meek. They're those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're merciful. They're pure in heart. They're peacemakers. They're those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And they're those whom men revile and persecute on Jesus' account because we believe in Christ. And secondly, saints are always people of hope. They never give up on the vision of a world of peace and love and Jesus' coming again in all his glory on that great day of the fulfillment of God's kingdom. Never give up. Even in times of disparity, they never gave up. These characteristics depict the people we honor and remember today. Who has inspired your faith? Who has left the greatest impact upon your faith and beliefs? Who brings you hope in your times of despair and hopelessness? If you're having a difficult time remembering someone who possessed all those many traits of the Beatitudes, remember that God's saints are often, if not always, unsaintly saints. Unsaintly. Now, I hate to put a damper on this beautiful day when we're lifting up the saints, but I'm trying to be realistic. What kind of people did God pick to reflect the image? They're people who have blemishes. They're not without tarnish. For example, let's look in the Old Testament. Moses, he sees an Egyptian beating one of the Israelites for no reason. He's just beating him, and Moses couldn't contain himself. So what does he do? He goes over and murders the Egyptian. And then flees the country. Moses, a murderer. Abraham, he found himself in a sticky situation, so he had to pass his wife off as his sister to get out of it. Noah in the ark. naked. Dishonoring the family. Upsetting them. Jacob. We know what he did to his brother. He cheated him out of his birthright. And David. Well, we know that story, don't we? David and Bathsheba. But he has her husband sent to the front lines, full well knowing he would be killed in battle. Jesus' disciples, how many of them stuck around during those final days of Holy Week? How many? They were all hiding. And Paul, undoubtedly the greatest missionary of all time in the history of the Christian church, the greatest. He wasn't easy to get along with. He got into a lot of fights and arguments with some of the disciples. He was honored. And then we have some of our saints, like St. Augustine, probably the most influential theologian in the Catholic and Protestant tradition. The most influential, I would say, theologian. Well, he grew up in a home where his dad was not religious, but his mom was. She was a Christian. And much to her consternation, he fell away from the faith as a teenager. He wanted to hang out with the guys who were interested in partying, having a good time. Wine, women, and song. By the age of 16, he fathered a child. But yet he would go on to use these experiences in spiritual growth and maturity. He would look back on it. So this is what the human condition is like in our relationship with God. And I hate to bring this one up, John Wesley. Try to avoid this. He's the founder of our denomination. And I tell you, I moved from the Presbyterian tradition to the Methodist tradition because of John Wesley and Charles. I love their theology. He didn't want to get married, but he felt God calling him to marry, and he did. He never should have, because he was a terrible husband. His wife accused him of abuse and neglect. He was a workaholic. He was never home. And she left. So saints of the past were people who were a mixture of high moral character and at the same time people who knew and experienced moral failure. That's the reality of the situation. This is who God has to work with. And even though these people were unsaintly saints, they are, for us, at the same time, the image of Christ. A lot of reasonableness about our faith and our religion, isn't it? Through these people, despite their unsaintliness, Christ speaks to us. Through these people, Christ's love comes to us. So whom do you honor today? Who has inspired or inspires you? Well, to be honest with you, for me, I've mostly been inspired by the people in the pews of all the congregations that I've been a part of. People in the pews. From First Presbyterian Church in Waynesboro, Virginia, right up to Doolin, the United Methodist Church. Those people in the pews and homes who live out their lives as best they can, serving where they can, being who they can for other people as best they can. I remember my second grade Sunday school teacher. That's where my theological journey begins, with Mr. Potts. He had four boys. He stuck us in this little tiny storage room because the church was booming, full of people, and it's the only place they could put us. And for a year, we built this papier-mâché map of Palestine. Painted it, put the cities on it. It was incredible. It's a most wonderful experience. And what a way to start your faith journey. And then there was my weekday religious education teacher throughout elementary school, by the way. And of course, we don't have that in the public. school anymore. She was really the only one that was able to get through to me. She was extraordinary. She was extraordinary. And then there were three local church pastors. One was my best friend's father. The Episcopal manse was across the street from our house. So I spent more time in their home than in mine. I saw what the life of a pastor was like. Saw the good, saw the bad, I saw the ugly. But it was realistic. I knew what I was getting into in some respects when I finally answered a call from ministry. And then I attended his church for 3 years before going off to college. And then there was Dr. Gerald Weiss, took the job when I was in seminary as a youth minister. He was in Rockville. It's Francis Asbury and I met his church. Served there for 3 years, and he was my mentor. Taught me how to be a pastor. He was wonderful. And then there were persons who were able to be friends of a minister. No strings attached in my life. I think of Gary and Jean Brown in that same Francis Asbury parish. They sort of adopted me my first year when I was in seminary and the youth minister, because I had church in the morning and then youth ministry in the evening. So what do? And I go back to D.C. They said, come to our house. So they nurtured me. And they would be the first, really, Christians that Sunita, who at the time was not a Christian, would meet. And they literally adopted her as their daughter. And they would become the godparents of our two sons, Adam and Ivan. And there was Marie Johnson in Fairham, Virginia. She loved our kids dearly, and our family, and her church, Bethany United Methodist Church. And today, George and Candace Strong, from our Epiphany Church, who are close friends to this day, and Sunita and Candace are like sisters. These people have been important to us. And then there was my friend in Chad when I was in the Peace Corps, Jabrillo. They were Muslim. He took me on and looked after me while in that village and befriended me. And I'm certain people in the villages were, kind of jealous of me. I'm not sure, but he had some difficult times with them at times during the 2 years I was in his village. These people have been instrumental in my life and in my faith journey up to this day. And then I close with, I honor you, members of Dooley United Methodist Church and the staff here. You've provided a wonderful church family for Sunita and me these past 11 years to flourish and grow and serve in our faith journeys. Through the simple, down-to-earth people, not the canonized saints, not the heroes of the faith, not the Pauls and the Wesleys and the Augustines, not the great heralds of the Christian life, although important and influential, Christ has spoken to me through those people. These are the saints I honor today. Whom do you honor? So let us give special honor and thanks to God for these people who in their own spiritual way are saying to us, run the race, keep the faith, have integrity, persevere, share the faith, be like Christ. Be like Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son.